Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah! Hey, here's the last game. You can expect something like that to happen. So England have won the World Cup. It is the fourth time they've done that. What a match this was.
You're listening to the voice behind Women's Cricket Chat. That's Georgie and Alex. Coming up on today's podcast...
Welcome back to Women's Cricket Chat. It's myself, Georgie Heath, and Alexandra Pereira. And we are joined today by the wonderful Kiwi, Jess Kerr. Jess, welcome to the pod, talking to us from, I would say, glorious South Africa, but you've had a lot of rain, haven't you?
Yes, a lot of rain. Was hoping to escape the cold in New Zealand, but I've brought it with me. But happy to be in South Africa and back playing cricket. So yeah.
Yeah, so we'll just start on that one. You've recently been injured, just getting back into the game. How's all the recovery been going as we look ahead to what is now your cricket season as ours comes to a close?
Yeah, so earlier in the year I broke my toe a week out before I was meant to be heading to Sri Lanka with the White Ferns. So that was really devastating. But it meant I had a long time at home, which we as cricketers don't usually get. So it was a bit strange at first, but I sort of ended up enjoying it. I had a lot of time with family, time with my Wellington coaches, so which is my domestic team, and a lot of time in the gym, back to doing off-feet conditioning and things like that. But very grateful now to be fully fit and healthy and made the plane and have played two games over here, but sadly a few have been rained out due to the weather. So yeah,
I got the giggles there when you said Wellington, because all I could think of was Wellington boots, and I was like, that's just what you need right now, maybe not for your toe but for the weather. Anyway, enough of me being an idiot. So I want to throw it way back to cricket for you. So it obviously runs in your family. Your mum and dad both played. Obviously, we know about Mealy as well. But it was originally running and athletics for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, come from a cricketing family, so it was natural to get brought into the sport. But I would say throughout my whole schooling years, I always loved athletics, and that was my number one sport. And it was injuries that took me out of it. But running was everything to me. My best friends did it. I just loved the training for it and racing. And I think those that do run sort of get the joy and endorphins you get out of it. But now I sort of look back and go, gosh, I was crazy for everything I did. But I always stuck with it with cricket, did a bit of indoor cricket, played for my school team at Tawa College. And obviously Mealy, being a bit younger, she was always playing too, so I was always just surrounded by it. But it wasn't until I was 17, got injured with running, that sort of pulled me out of that, and I got brought into the Wellington Blaze squad, which was a real shock at first. But all of a sudden, I was then teammates with Sophie Devine, Liz Perry at the time, Rachel Priest. Wellington was a very strong domestic team, and from there, it just, my love for the game sort of grew, and the training environments I had in Wellington just helped me become a better cricketer. And yeah, lots of bowling in the nets and whatnot. But since then, I've never looked back, and I'm grateful for every day for being able to call it my job now.
And you mentioned some of the names there. And you sort of, not being new to cricket, but in terms of having to switch that mentality from being athletics and running to now, you know, cricket is what I want to do. Do you find it daunting playing with those star players? Because I can only imagine, like, some of the names you mentioned, like, I would be absolutely breaking it.
Yeah, at first, I think having Mealy probably helped me a lot. She's my younger sister, but in a way in cricket, she's like my older sister. She's been around for so much longer. So having her, I was obviously watching her play cricket, so I knew of some of the names and faces. And obviously they weren't expecting me to be sort of world class straight away. And you know, I was picked as a bowler with my real threat as being an in-swing bowler. And I bowled so many leg side wide starting and whatnot, but I had just a great support network around me and all the players were really welcoming and helped me sort of blossom and encourage me to keep bowling in swing rather than going straight to cross seam and being sort of safe, what they say. But I guess I was nervous being 17 and quite young, but and on the flip side, it probably helped me become a better cricketer too, because I was having to, you know, bowl to some of the best batters in the world.
And it hadn't been an easy road for you leading up to that, had it? So was it Bell's palsy you suffered with when you were just 9? Can you tell us a bit about that and the impact it had on you and your running and your sports and just your life in general?
Yeah, so I've had a few sort of random health conditions throughout the years. Bell's palsy probably was one of the strangest ones that happened. I was 8 or 9 years old, came home to mum and dad and just said my face isn't really functioning properly, and it sort of was tingling, and half my face wasn't sort of going up like it should when I was smiling. So got sent to hospital with mum and got turned away originally, actually, and then saw my GP the next day and they said, I've got this condition called Bell's palsy and I'll be sweet, it'll go away in 1 year and no worries, just carry on with your life, sort of thing. And I obviously couldn't blink my eye and couldn't talk properly, but just take my eye up for sport so dust wouldn't get in. And I think looking back now, I think that kids are the most resilient people going round. And sometimes when people say, who do you look up to and whatnot, I almost say I look up to younger Jess, because if I had to deal with some of the stuff I probably got when I was younger, I don't know if I would be so resilient and sort of keep calm, carry on type of mentality. But I think just kids in general just keep moving forward for some reason. And that's sort of what I did. And sport was always my outlet. So every question I always asked to a doctor when I was diagnosed with something or I was sick or whatnot would be, can I still play sport? And if they said yes, I was happy, I was okay. So luckily with Bell's palsy and then getting diabetes later, they always said, yep, you can still do sport. Obviously it's had its other challenges, but hearing that answer from the doctors was a massive sign of relief for me as a kid. And that sort of allowed me to keep going, I guess.
And you kind of mentioned the having to be resilient as a child. It seems to me that these things happen in threes. Obviously, you got Bell's palsy, then you got diagnosed with diabetes, then you had to, I think it was compartmental syndrome when you were 16. Like, how hard was it for you? And I know you've talked about being resilient, but that's a lot for someone to go through in about 8 years' time.
Yeah, I think I actually wrote a story for someone not long ago talking about all the health conditions, and it probably wasn't till then that it felt like it was a lot. But yeah, I don't really know how to answer that one, because I guess with the Bell's palsy, I thought it was going to last a year and it didn't. And I have just accepted the fact that it's lasted, and my family and friends, and like I said before, I can still play sport. So that's the people I'm surrounded by have been amazing and not treated me any different. So that has been a huge saving grace. With diabetes, it's literally, you've got it forever, but if you do the right things, you can still live a normal life. So I've almost wanted to not prove people wrong, but I don't want to let diabetes define me as a person and let it overtake my life, because the thought of having it forever can probably seem a bit scary. But if I live like that, then I'm not going to be too happy. And again, I asked the doctor, can I still run? Because I was only young at that point. I probably didn't care about cricket as much then, but can I still do sport? And they said yes. So it's like, okay, how can I work around that? And yes, I do a lot more work behind the scenes that probably people might not see or realize, but to me, that's my my normal. And if it allows me to represent my country and do something I love, I would do it any day of the week. Yeah. And then I guess the with my calves, that was really difficult in a way, because running was my everything. I wanted to go to the Olympics, and my best friends did it. Like I said, it was sort of my life in a way. And that was my biggest outlet as a kid. So that was really challenging. But I like the quote, everything happens for a reason, because I was always a naturally better cricketer. And I'd think if I didn't get injured and stop running, I probably wouldn't have gone down the path of cricket. And yeah, I absolutely love what I'm doing now. So I sort of look at it in that way, and in the sense of my calves going all cruddy on me.
And also way more fun, way more sociable. And I think you get to see so much in many cooler places in the world, and you don't have to get up at ungodly hours in the morning. So
yeah,
I think your body did you a good one there. And I just wanted to touch on the diabetes thing, because am I right that Sophie Devine also has diabetes? So has she sort of given you any kind of advice, obviously, as an older member of the squad, and how she has managed it and coped in such a high-pressure professional situation but still been so successful?
Yeah, I've obviously really looked up to Sophie. She's actually from the same suburb or town as me, and my dad used to coach the Wellington Blaze when Sophie was a teenager. So when I was diagnosed, my dad said, Sophie Devine has type 1 diabetes, and you know, look what she's doing. But I think it's just really nice on tour to have her and to be able to not complain as such, but she totally gets how I'm feeling. If I say I'm low or if I'm high, she understands. And yeah, I think just people who are type 1 diabetic, you just automatically probably have an instant sort of connection, or you just get it, what they're going through. And I really have loved playing in New Zealand, and when parents come up to me and say, oh, my daughter or my son has type 1 diabetes, or yeah, anyone who is type 1 diabetic coming up, it's like you just feel this little soft spot for them, because they've got something that's going to be with them forever that's tough, and you just get it more than probably your average human. But yeah, it's great to have Sophie on tour and everything she's done. I think I need some of her insulin, because she is hitting the ball a lot harder than me. So I've been stitched up a little bit there. But anyway, we'll deal with that one a bit later.
Just on the diabetes, like, how difficult is it to manage during playing cricket, for instance? Because obviously, like, say when New Zealand will get that test match, hopefully soon, and then 50 over cricket, it's a different, it's about what, 8 hours a day, and then T20 is about 3 hours. So how do you, I suppose, manage it, and how do you have to adjust with those sort of the length of the games?
Yeah, definitely the longer the format, the harder it becomes. I personally have an insulin pump, which I disconnect when I am on the field. So drinks breaks are really important for me. And so I'm very grateful that whoever is it's 12th man or 13th man on the field just knows exactly what to do, run out my diabetes bag. And if I give them a wave on the field, they know what to do. But yeah, it's all I think of with diabetes is it's a lot more decisions in your day, or you're thinking about it. So while the girls might just be having a drinks break and thinking about your cricket, for me it's okay, what's my blood sugar level at? Do I need to do more insulin? Will this last me till the next break? How many units on board do I have? It all probably sounds quite foreign to people who might be listening, but that's sort of what I'm thinking about. And then it's sort of going to the cricket. But yeah, I think, yeah, having a good support network around you, and again, I've had it for quite a long time now, that you just learn every time, and also accepting that you're not going to be perfect all the time, and not getting down on yourself if you are going to run high or low. It's just sort of, how can you survive this game to the best of your ability and to perform at your best without, you know, damaging your health too much.
I just find that incredible that, you know, not only are you coping with playing top level international cricket, there's this on the side that you just manage to balance all of these things and everything that you've overcome to get to the point of international cricket. And let's talk international cricket, because that's how we came across you. Obviously, I met you at Fairbrick earlier this year, but you actually made your debut after your younger sister, didn't you? And am I right in that you came over to England for the 2017 World Cup, but watched Mealy play. Did that sort of inspire you to be like, right, now I've got into cricket properly, I want to play in a World Cup, especially when there was going to be one at home coming up?
Yeah, 100%. That definitely inspired me. Mealy had a couple of years playing in the Blaze, and I'd obviously, we've got a very supportive family, so I was always in Wellington watching those. And when I heard Mum and Dad were going over to England to watch her in the World Cup, I got given a choice of whether I want to play in an indoor cricket World Cup myself or go with Mum and Dad to watch Mealy play. And yeah, I went to England and watched, and it was an incredible tournament and very inspiring. And by then I'd been just picked up in the Wellington Blaze squad. And I think, yeah, after leaving that, it was like, okay, the women's game is really going somewhere. And it just, yeah, it was incredible. And that certainly inspired me, and just seeing the love Mealy had for the game and playing for the White Ferns. Just all the little things like hearing the national anthem and all that. Obviously, I wanted to represent New Zealand for running and athletics. So it was like, okay, can I do this with cricket? And if I try my hardest and see where it goes.
And also, with running and athletics, you only really hear the national anthem if you're on the podium. But
exactly.
If you play cricket, you always get to hear it. Do you stand near Mealy and get to sing it with her? Or is there a specific order you have to stand when you do the anthems?
No order, but me and Mealy always go at the very back. And yeah, we're always side by side. We come from a very musical family, so we are always belting out the anthem together. So
you go for like the descant and the harmonies. What's Christmas singing like in the Kerr family?
There's certainly harmonies when we're at home, but that's certainly carried by the aunties and some of the cousins. But yeah, we just sing along with the tune when it comes to the national anthem.
And I don't know, we know you wanted to go to the Olympics with running, but hey, there might be an opportunity in 2028 with cricket. You know, you're still very young, so it's only what, 5 and a bit years away. You're still very young. You've still got time to make that squad for, is it Los Angeles in 2028?
Yeah.
So you've still got time.
I know. Yeah, that was the exciting thing with the Commonwealth Games. Unfortunately, I was actually injured for that, but just to hear that was announced, because obviously being a young girl, I always was watching the Commonwealth Games and Olympics. So yeah, it's very exciting to see cricket in the Olympic Games. And yeah, hopefully I can keep myself fit and fresh. And yeah, will I still be young? I'm not sure. Might be nearing 30, but we'll...
That is not that old. I'll have none of this. None of this being old. No, no, no. Everyone's
it's not now. 30 is the new 20, I say.
Yeah, and then you minus 2 for COVID years. That's what I keep doing.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I'm going to carry on with that, but...
Yeah.
And so you, Mealy, you sing the anthem together, but she also gave you your international cap, didn't she? Can you remember any of what was said, or was it quite sort of overwhelming day?
Yeah, I had the best cap presentation ever, I reckon. I had Sophie and Mealy present me with my cap. And while I can't remember word for word what they said, it was just really, really special. I was the only one debuting. I think the year before there was quite a big break of international cricket. So, and we were about to head to a World Cup as well. But yeah, Mealy wrote a beautiful speech. I think there's a video of it somewhere. And also to have Sophie as well. She was obviously my Wellington captain. And like I said before, her being type 1 diabetic too, I've always looked up to her. So it was a really special day. And I had my family and partner fly up and had some close family friends there as well. So I don't remember the exact sort of words or moments, but I remember the feeling of the day and how special it was. And yeah, that can never be taken away from me.
And did you find it even more special when you could sort of think back to all of the stuff that you had overcome to get to that point?
Yeah, 100%. I think going into that season, I was not expecting to make the White Ferns. I had studied to become a teacher, had a job lined up. I ended up still working that year, but I was just really, really just happy with life and going into the summer of cricket, just excited to play with my mates, really. I always wanted to play for New Zealand, but I didn't think it would be that soon. So I think when I just had this breakout season and then actually got the news that I'm going to a World Cup and going to be representing my country and playing South Africa too beforehand, it was just very overwhelming that it had all happened. And obviously you go back to your journey, and my family probably reminded me of that more than myself. And yeah, it was really special to have that happen, and obviously to be able to debut at home too was awesome.
And just on the teaching, you are still teaching, aren't you? And I believe it's not anymore. They need to update that on the whole website, because that's where I saw. But you were teaching at your sister's previous school. So tell us a little bit about that and about how you sort of have to manage your time teaching as well as playing cricket alongside that.
Yeah, I'm very grateful with sort of my timing of things. So I did a 4-year degree my placement for my last year was at Tawa Intermediate, which is the school me and Mealy went to, and my mum went to that school actually too, and my auntie and aunties and uncle. So Tawa's very, very close to home, so it was special to be able to teach there. And then going into the following year, I was hired as a full-time teacher, and as I said before, I had this breakout cricket season and got called up for the White Ferns, which meant I was going to miss my first 5 to 6 weeks of teaching as a first-year teacher, which was just, yeah, it was crazy. But I called my boss, and he just laughed at me, and he said, I've been watching you play and I've got a plan for this. So he was almost thinking before me, and he was obviously so happy and proud of me for making the team. And he encouraged me to get my registration. So for the 2 years, my first 2 years of being contracted for the White Ferns, I was also a full-time teacher. So he let me go on every single tour. But when I was home, it meant I was juggling training and teaching. And it was very, very busy, I'm not going to lie. It was early wake-ups, late nights. And now that I've had the privilege of training full-time, I probably wasn't training, or it's just so much better to be able to be a full-time athlete. I can train in the day with other people when a lot of my trainings were alone with my dad, or like I said, late at night. So yeah, I'm so grateful I did it, because it made me juggle my time and get a sense of the real world as well. And yeah, if anything goes wrong with cricket or injuries or whatnot, I've got that as a backup. But I'm so grateful now to be doing cricket full-time. And yeah, I haven't looked back since, now that I've got my registration and ticked that off.
What were you teaching?
So it's in New Zealand, it's called intermediate. So you go to primary school till year 6, and then year 7 and 8 is intermediate, which is the 2 years before college or high school. So they're about between 11, 12, 13 years old. And I taught all subjects. Yeah, real range, but I loved the older age. Lots of people said, what are you doing? But yeah, I found you could be more yourself, have great conversations with them. And yeah, there was cons as well. But yeah, I really love that age group.
And then instead, now you get to be a professional cricketer. So, you know, pros and cons. And then, like you said, you can go back to it afterwards. Talking of the professionalisation, obviously you're still young, so professionalisation has been a lot more prevalent in the time that you've been interested and playing cricket. But is it something that you're still seeing, this massive growth, and like how much pride does it give you to sort of be part of this massive boom in global women's cricket? You know, we've obviously got like the international contracts, professionalisation, the Big Bash, which has been incredible, the 100, you know, women's cricket in the Commonwealth Games. That must be amazing to be part of.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we earn quite a good income now playing for our country, and it allows, you know, the older girls, they'll tell me off for saying that, but they can stay in the sport for a lot longer now too, because they don't have to go out and get a real job, as people probably said back in the day. I've been lucky enough to play in some leagues and in the UK and Australia, and their domestic structures are just so well set up and advanced. And New Zealand's a little bit behind in that sense, but we're heading in the right direction. And yeah, it's just really exciting to be a part of that change, and also to be able to bring back what you've learned from playing in other countries and bringing it into your domestic teams as well. But I think it's just going to keep going up at the moment, and it's so exciting what's been happening, especially with the IPL this year and all the different leagues. And you know, they name something new every year, it seems. You know, there's, like we talked about before, the Olympics as well, so it's hard to get a break almost at this point.
You just mentioned there about, you know, New Zealand perhaps might not be as far ahead as other countries. However, you were the first country to sort of announce equal pay. So how important was it for yourselves and the men's team to have equal pay, but also to kind of put it out to the rest of the world, you know, that we should be moving more towards equal pay?
Yeah, I think it was really good. They employed someone, the NZCPA, to work through all of that. And yeah, it was a great move. And I think having the New Zealand CPA who work for the players and who are fighting for things like that is awesome. But yeah, it's really exciting. Like I said before, even since from when I first started as a White Fern to now, the pay has increased for the international games. And just last year, they have given us match payments for our domestic team as well, when we've never had that before. So it's really nice for them to be recognising us in that sense, with having the same pay as the men for the work that you're doing on that day.
There is one thing that needs to happen, though, and this is a test match. How much would you love to play a test match, but also see some of the White Fern legends that you get to play alongside, get to pull on the whites and play in a test match?
Yeah, I would love to play in a test match. I think going off the games that have happened in the last year or two, they've been super thrilling and exciting, and so much has happened. And yeah, it's crazy to think that if we were to play one, we'd have all of us debuting for a test match. But I know I'm not the only one who would be very keen to play in a test match. And yeah, especially some of our girls who, it's hard to get them out of the nets. I'm sure they'd love having the ability to bat for days on end if they could. So yeah, hopefully one day. But yeah, good things take time.
And for now, you can just think ahead of all of the franchise stuff you've got lined up, potentially the Olympics in the future. And then at some point, New Zealand are going to have to come back and at least defend that bronze medal from the Commonwealth Games last year. I remember there was a lot of jokes from, I think it was Sophie Devine, who took the piss out of the English people because they had medal pockets inside their jackets and obviously didn't win one in the cricket. So, you know, you've got to win another one of those. Bring yourselves a medal pocket next time. But talking of the franchise stuff, you're off to join up with the mighty Magenta, the Sydney Sixers, in the women's big bash this winter / summer, depending where you are. And that's my team. I can never not support teams that's coached by Charlotte Edwards. You were the second pick in the draft for that one, so you must have been pretty buzzing about that. And how much are you looking forward to joining up with that? Because it just gets bigger and better every year.
Oh, yeah, I can't explain my excitement really for playing in the Big Bash. Last year, I was picked up as a replacement player for the Brisbane Heat, which I absolutely loved. I didn't play the whole season, but the games I did play, I loved it. The quality of cricket in Australia is second to none. And yeah, to be playing for the Sydney Sixers is a dream come true. Charlotte Edwards is coach. I've never worked under her, but have heard great things. Obviously, Mealy was with her with the Mumbai Indians this year. So yeah, I'm so excited to work under her. And then obviously having my White Ferns teammate Susie Bates there too. But I can't wait to get over there. For me, it's just the quality of cricket and how can I improve myself as a player, and Aussie certainly lead the way in that sense. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and it's not the worst place to travel either.
And it's not even that far to you. I always think, oh, it's so far, but if you're just coming over from Kiwiland, you're fine. Is Mealy playing as well? Where's she playing?
She's been retained by the Brisbane Heat, but she is arriving a couple of weeks later, so she's going to go home and have a little stint there before joining with them for the back end of the tournament.
What's it like when you have to come up against each other?
Do you know what? I have never played in a team against her. This will be the first time. Obviously, yeah, last year I was in the Brisbane Heat with her, Wellington, White Ferns with her. I think I've maybe played one sort of club game against her, but yeah, it's going to be very, very strange because we've always been on the same team. So yeah, a few people have brought that up already.
And your mum and dad are going to have to, like, buy two shirts, cut them down the middle, and stitch them together.
I know. We've got a little cousin who's only 8 years old, but she is happy I'm in the colour pink. So I'm hoping I've got one family member rooting for me at least, since I'm wearing the colour pink. But we'll wait and see.
Team Barbie all the way.
Yeah, yeah, cricket Barbie, right?
Yeah, so do you ever play against each other at stuff like in the garden or anything? Or how competitive do Kerr family board games and that kind of stuff get?
Yeah, we come from, me and Mealy are all we've got in terms of immediate family, but we have a bunch of cousins. So a lot of our summers were spent sort of kids versus adults, backyard cricket, things like that, just great memories. So again, often probably on the same team, because we'd be versing the uncles and aunties and parents. But yeah, certainly we've had a lot of memories growing up of each other bowling to one another in the nets and whatnot. So yeah, Mealy is very competitive. She hates to lose. But yeah, like I said, cricket wasn't my big passion as a kid, so it's probably only now I'm a bit more competitive with when it comes to cricket.
I am so excited to see you two come up against each other. I really hope there is some fantastic chat out there on the field, because this could be magnificent. I love watching siblings or partners play against each other. You know, when it's wife versus wife, that kind of vibe. I'm all here for that. Yeah, so you'll be taking each other on in the Women's Big Bash, which is very exciting stuff. But at the moment, you're obviously out in South Africa trying to play a series. South Africa obviously made it to the final of the World Cup earlier on this year and were beaten by Australia. But do you think that sort of gulf between Australia, like they've for a long time been way ahead of everyone, between Australia and the rest is getting smaller?
Yeah, I think it is. Obviously, probably the T20 World Cup might have surprised people with South Africa making it, but especially T20 cricket, I think anyone can win on any given day. And like we talked about before, you know, each and every team is becoming more professional, and you know, the UK with their domestic structures and things like that, it's everyone's just becoming better and better. So yeah, Aussie is still certainly leading the way, but it's nice to see that teams are getting better and challenging them too. I mean, you look at Hayley Matthews the other day versus Australia, it was a phenomenal knock. So like I said, on any given day, anyone can win. But I think Australia consistently are performing and producing quality cricket.
And the talk of Hayley Matthews is the most wonderful segue into me bringing up Fairbreak, where obviously you played on the winning Warriors with Hayley Matthews this year at Fairbreak. You came into it quite late, quite a late addition to it, but how much did you enjoy being able to be part of that? And what kind of stuff did you learn? And also, what was it like to just be able to watch that Hayley Matthews knock and be like, she's basically just hit us to the trophy?
Yeah, I absolutely loved my time at the Fairbreak. Yeah, I was a late call up, so I had about 4 days to decide if I wanted to go and then travel, but I don't regret it one bit. And I think just the nature of the name Fairbreak, it's giving all nations a go at playing the sport we love, and just the mixing and mingling of all the nations and the teams, and not just your own team. There were so many opportunities to hang out with everyone else, and I think that's really special about that tournament, when often other leagues and franchises and playing for your country, you just stick to your one team. So that was really unique and special about that. And yeah, like you said, Hayley Matthews scoring a century that game, absolutely incredible. Another type 1 diabetic actually, so yeah, very talented.
What's she putting in her insulin too? She's
exactly
fine.
No, where's this batting talent coming for me? So not even a fast bowler either. So yeah.
And you've just mentioned there with Fairbreak about mixing with perhaps players you might not have seen play before, some more associate nations. Like, what sort of things were you able to learn from them, and what sort of pieces of advice perhaps and bowling techniques and stuff like that were you able to pass on to them?
Yeah, I think it, one, made me very grateful for what we do have in New Zealand. And And also it provided an opportunity for me to help some of the associate nations if they wanted help, which was awesome too. I think it's always important to give back to the game, as it's given me so much. And yeah, it was a great opportunity to be able to do that. And for them, it was such an awesome event, and there were so many world-class players, and you know, they really did well. I mean, you look at Mahika Gore, you know, she was so good at that tournament, and now she's representing representing England. So it's just like what you don't see, you don't know. So I think having that exposure out there for those associate nations is really awesome, and there's some great talent in that bunch.
And I think we see it a lot now as well. You know, there are more countries playing in regional global qualifiers, and the women's game is growing at an astonishing rate, which is always very exciting to see. Alex, do you have any more questions for the wonderful Jess?
Not off the top of my head.
Does that mean we can...
I feel like we've covered a lot.
Right, we always like to sort of finish off with a sort of quick fire round of questions. They're sort of a bit more fun. One that we like to always ask is, what is your favourite item at a cricket tea?
Favourite item at a cricket
tea? Like a normal traditional cricket tea. I don't know if you have them in there like we do in England. We have like sandwiches, cakes, sausage rolls, little cold pizzas. That's the kind of cricket tea you get in England. Crisps in a bowl, that's always a thing. I don't know if you know. Maybe you have like Lamington. What's a very Kiwi thing to eat?
What is Kiwi?
Do you have cricket tea? Maybe that's just very English.
Well, we like a cricket, like a lunch.
That'll do.
Yeah. I think you can't go past like a hot bread roll with butter.
Nice. Well, I actually spoke to Phoebe Litchfield the other day. And do you know what she takes to eat at a game? A banana in a wrap.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, as I in, like that, that's questionable.
I think that's so weird. I was like, I actually don't really know where to go with this. You know, when it sounds like someone's making something up, and I was like, I don't think you could even make that up. But a banana in a wrap, weird one.
I actually take that back in New Zealand. Not sure about the UK, but toasted sandwiches are just a must on the sideline. Ham, cheese, bit of onion, maybe mayonnaise. Ooh, toasted sandwich.
Oh.
Delicious.
Mm, beats all crisps in a bowl, doesn't it, Alex? The best sledge you've ever used or heard?
Oh, I feel like people are usually pretty nice. I don't know if I've had a sledge. I'm too nice myself. I'm not the traditional nasty, fasty bowler. Maybe it's a work on for me.
You'll need to think of one for when you play your sister.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, maybe then.
My mum's favourite, you know.
Yeah. Bouncer.
Yeah.
Bring that out.
No, because I was going to say, like, imagine Jess says that, and then it's like, it causes, like, such tension between them after. By saying, oh, mum's favourite.
My mum is
not want to be.
If one of us grumbles.
Fly on the wall.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's all in the name of winning, and that's what's important. If there was a dream person you could get out, or your favourite wicket, who would it be?
Oh. I think maybe I'm thinking Australia, probably Meg Lanning. It would be great to get her out. I've never got her out. Any top order opening bat, not that she's, well, she has opened actually, but being an opening bowler, if I can get that first wicket, it's always quite satisfying. As it's helping the team as well.
Favourite musician or artist?
Adele.
Oh.
Easy. Yeah, love her.
Interesting. Do you go for the proper belting it? Do you belt it in the car?
Yeah, belt it. Love her. She'd nice. Be my guest at a dinner too. I absolutely love Adele.
Big Adele fan. What's your go-to order from Deliveroo?
Oh, we don't have Deliveroo in Uber Eats. At the moment, it's Nando's over here.
Cheeky.
UK Nando's is the best though, I must say.
And what flavour? Do you go lemon and herb, or are you going like...
I go mild.
Hmm.
Peri peri chips, though, always.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dream place to play? You would like to play cricket?
I'd say Lords. I was there with the London Spirit last year but didn't play. I was the wild card, so I'd love to actually play a game at Lord's. It's a beautiful place. Good lunch too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you get lunch even if you don't play it.
Yeah, I did get the lunches. Yeah. Make the most of it.
Go to karaoke song, which I think will be an Adele song, but if it's Adele, which song would it be?
Adele, maybe Someone Like You. Just
ooh, that's a real belter.
Yeah.
That's a strong choice.
I probably wouldn't choose Adele, to be honest, because her songs are too hard to sing.
Mm.
But if it had to be Adele, that's a goodie. My grandma actually taught me that on the piano when I was younger. I don't remember it now, but that was one of the first songs I learnt.
That's very
when I used to play the piano.
I feel like we all used to play the piano. Now if I look at it, I'm like, oh God, no, not a chance.
Yeah.
If not cricket, and you could do any dream job, what would you want to do?
I've recently just built a house, so I love the interior design sort of side of it. So maybe like an interior designer would be quite fun, I reckon.
That would be really cool. So I've just been watching, because I have nothing better to do with my ins. Have you ever watched Big Brother?
Years ago.
So
yeah.
It's just come back in the UK. And every time I watch it, I think, how much fun would it be to be an interior designer for the Big Brother house?
Yeah.
Mm. And I don't have an arty bone in my body. So just rewind like 2 seconds. You just built a house casually.
Yeah. Me and my partner have just built a house. On his parents' backyard, actually. So, yeah.
I was going to say, did you flip the house? Obviously, you didn't, if you built it from the ground up.
Yeah, built brand new because, yeah, we were luckily got the land from his parents' backyard. So it was quite a fun little project, really. It was about 2 years in the making with getting sort of resource consent and all that. But I absolutely love the design stage of it. Not so much the tradie, get your hands dirty stage, but yeah. That wasn't my job. We got builders for that, so it didn't matter.
Now you can just pop over to his parents for Sunday lunch. Easy.
Exactly, yeah.
There was no
downside. It's defo giving Property Brothers vibes. Or like any show on HGTV in America, it's giving them vibes.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like my kind of show. I used to like Pimp My Ride, and that was cars. That was quite similar. But that's because I'm old. As we know, getting towards 30. Ooh. Anyway, moving on very swiftly before my hair gets any grayer. What was the last TV show you binged?
Oh, what did I... Actually, the David Beckham documentary I've just watched, and I loved it. Yeah.
Was that part of it? I definitely cried, and I was a bit watching it like, why am I crying? Oh, when they get rid of him from Man United, and he like doesn't want to go, and I was like, he doesn't want to go. Why is he go? Anyway,
yeah.
I guess. Last book you read?
Last book I read, we had to read as a team a Dan Carter book for the White Ferns, so that was actually the last book I read. Other than that, probably Lessons in Chemistry.
So good. So it's coming onto Apple TV.
I know. That would be my next show to binge. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Can't we can chat about that one when it comes out because I love that book. Also, the fact the dog is called 6:30, I just found so funny.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Alex is looking at us like we've completely lost it. Alex is a very good book. It's not actually really, well, I mean, it is about chemistry, but it's very good. You need to watch it, as do our listeners. Do you have any cricket icks?
Oh, I think collar up when playing. You know, if you've got a collar but you've pulled it up, or cricket tan, like t-shirt tan lines.
Yeah.
I try my best to avoid getting tan lines. I'll get a bit of stick for wearing a singlet all the time, but it means I don't get tan lines. So
the Kiwi singlets are quite nice though, your training ones. I remember thinking about the under-19s. I was like, I'm very jealous that they've got this really nice kit. How do I get some?
But yeah.
Do you have any superstitions or anything you have to do before you play?
No, surprisingly not. I think I always put like my left batting pad on first, but just I naturally do that. No, I'm not super superstitious. I don't think you can be with how cricket rolls. There's so many like things you have to do to adapt that if I was so strict in my routine, it wouldn't work well. Anything can happen.
you've probably got enough things to think about, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, sort my diabetes out. That's my super sorting all that out.
The final one from me. Favourite genre of music?
Oh, Adele. Just things I can... I think, like, car music that you can just sing, but obviously in your own company. Yeah, I like my slow songs, so probably don't put me on the speaker for team trainings and whatnot, because I like my more chill, mellow type music. But yeah,
who's the team DJ in the changing room?
It's Mealy. Yeah.
Oh, is it? And who has the worst fashion sense?
Oh, who does? I'm gonna say maybe Sophie or Leah, but I'm taking Sophie shopping in Australia apparently, so soon it won't be Sophie.
Nice, love that. Who has the worst dance moves?
Oh, I'd be up there. Maybe Georgia Plimmer. But she's funny, she's entertaining. So
the youngster,
I encourage it.
It's the youngsters these days with all their TikToking. Doesn't matter what dance you're doing. Do you have a TikToker on your team? Do you get involved in that?
I think Fran and Eden quite like TikTok. They don't ever publish anything, but yeah, I've seen a couple of drafts from them, and no, I have not been involved in any of them. I'm more of a singer than a dancer. So
well, we're gonna want to see you involved with all the content with the Sydney Sixers. I'm sure you won't be able to avoid it, because kind of thing you're
I'll gonna try.
So, and if you were a Barbie, which Barbie would you be?
Oh, I've got to say cricket Barbie, don't I? If I'm joining the Sixers.
Yeah. I think there should be a cricket Barbie, okay.
My cousin actually said that when I got picked up in the Sixers. She said, you're actually cricket Barbie now.
Oh, the absolute dream.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything
better. It's a dream to be playing for them. So, yeah, we'll say that.
Well, cricket Barbie, Jessica, it's been absolutely magnificent to have you on here. And thank you so much for chatting about everything with us. Could you just let our listeners know where they can find you on the social medias? And I'm assuming that doesn't mean TikTok.
No, I'm not on TikTok. I love watching TikToks, but I don't post anything on there. But yeah, Instagram, Jessie Kerr with a double E. Yeah, that is my main form of socials I use.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us, taking time out of the rain in South Africa. Go well in the rest of the series, and we look forward to seeing you go and do your thing for the Cricket Barbies at the Sydney Sixers this winter.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And to all our listeners, if you want to keep up to date with everything that we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at WCricketChat, on Instagram at Women's Cricket Chat. And if you want to give us a like on Facebook, we are Women's Cricket Chat. If you'd like to give our personal Twitters a follow, then it's at GeorgiaHeath27 and I'm at AlexJaneGray. This has been Women's Cricket Chat. Tune in next time. Podcast Network.